going with you and your adult sons and daughters, or maybe just one of them. We're picking up from yesterday. Boy, we had a flurry of interesting calls and comments and help on this intentional living topic of getting along with, growing, and really understanding God's intention for your relationship with your adult sons and daughters and vice versa. And you're welcome to join in on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Amy here today. Welcome to the show. Let me start with this. You can have an intentional, peaceful, loving, healthy, positive relationship with your adult children, or you can have a cluttered, painful relationship with them, but you can't have both. And so we got to reset. That's really the focus. How do we reset to get into a better place? All right. That's what we're talking about today. And welcome to the show. Comments are always a big part of it. By the way, if you've not checked out our website, when you go there, we got a lot of helpful resources. You can get access to all of the archive of the last programs. There's a lot of helpful blogs that have been written and prepared for you there, and just a lot to help you understand how you can live an intentional life in Christ, okay? And if you want to call and share your story on our comment line, it's 888-888-1717. Let's get started with Vicki in Arizona today. What reset do you need, Vicki?
I just need acceptance and love from my son. With the political situation the way it is, we seem to be on different ends, and it's really put a chill on our relationship.
Yeah, it's a heated thing, isn't it?
It's very sad to me because I have good friends, but we're on different sides too, but we still love each other. Yeah. And so I feel very judged by him. And I don't know why, really.
I'm wondering, is it possible it just comes out over politics when it's maybe something deeper and that he's not happy with you or no?
Yeah, he was raised in the church, Christian, and decided in his adulthood that wasn't for him anymore. So there's always been that, but we've still had a loving relationship. So this is just like the break point, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling very rejected by him. That's my feeling.
Sure. Does he know that?
I think so. We haven't talked about it, obviously. But yeah. Maybe that's what I need to do, is just let him know.
Yeah. Well, I think even more than that, Vicki, just don't talk about the politics. You know, what do they say? Politics and religion, two things you can't bring up at Thanksgiving. Because there's so many different opinions and input and views, and these are really important things to us. And to some, the political thing is really a big deal, even maybe more important than their own faith, unfortunately. But there are other things that are important in holding your family together. And I would encourage you, Vicki, to really focus on getting in behind his eyes, you know, how he views life, what's going on in his world, and just say, hey, can we just agree to disagree on this and we don't need to talk about it? You know where I'm coming from and what's important to me, and I pray for you and I love you. This is a whole part of this process that we talked about. Adult sons and daughters, what they want, they say they need from parents. They want space. They want criticism. They want to be accepted for their choices, even though sometimes they really are dumb and stupid and painful choices. Now, we don't have to accept that, but if that's the focus of the point of the relationship, the point is it's going to drive them away. And of course, they don't want comparison. They want approval. And that's where it gets difficult, because sometimes the kids are doing things that you don't approve of. And that's something where we as parents and grandparents need to say, I love you anyway. And what we need in turn, when I say we, I'm thinking from a parent's perspective, respect, acknowledgement that we're here, not forgotten, forgiven, you know, because we've done dumb things in parenting and that we need to be forgiven, and also to be heard, which can be a landmine in the relationship. It really can. But getting to that point where there's a relationship dynamic that really works is important. I hope that helps. All right, let's carry on here. Let me see. That was Vicki. Thank you, Vicki, for your call. Let's go to Evangeline in Arizona. Sounds like you already made a reset. What is it?
I have a different perspective here as the, not the young adult child, but I am in my mid-40s, and my mom is in her 70s, and grandma's in her 90s, so we're all still around to enjoy each other. But I think one of the things that is so important for adult children, and something that I've realized now that I'm a little older, and, you know, I've got my own kids, and I think something that my mom has really, really, really just appreciated is us just being grateful as adult kids for what she did, you know, when she was raising us, when we were in the thick of it, you know, and just being grateful for that. You know, oftentimes my sister and I, we were so, you know, upset because mom was so strict and mom was this and mom was that. And now that we're older and we've got kids of our own, sometimes we talk and we think, man, we're glad that my mom was the way that she was, because look at how everything turned out. You know, it's because the way that she was that we were able to be so successful, you know, and that we stayed in church and that we honor the Lord and that we married godly men and, you know, all of the things. So I think just being appreciative and letting them know that, hey, we do appreciate the sacrifices that you made for us and the things that you did for us. I think that goes a long way, is just being able to hear from your adult kids that you did a good job and that you're appreciated, you know, even though you did make mistakes.
I'll tell you what.
I think that's huge.
It is huge. And I'll tell you right now, I think most parents with adult children that heard that one time would be something to remember for the rest of their life. Their child stops long enough to say, hey, I just, as I'm growing up, realizing the things you did right and I appreciate it. That's powerful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. No, it really is. And I think one of the other things, if I could just real quickly, is just spending time with them. You know, we get so busy in our lives with our kids and the sports and the this and then that. Take time to go visit your parents. You know, don't let them grow old, lonely. Just take the time. Have fun. Take them with you. You know, get the kids involved. And that's something that we've been able to do as well. So I think those two things go just so far.
Yeah, a lot of wisdom there, Evangeline. I hope adult sons and daughters are listening. Pick up on that. Let's go to Amy in Arizona. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. What have you learned about this relationship with adult kids?
I have learned to pray and not pry.
Even when you want to pry?
Even when I want to pry, because every time I pry, I mess things up.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know how that works, but it seems to. So what do you do, though, when you see something that maybe you don't like or approve of? Practically, what do you do when you say you pray? What happens there?
One of the things that I've learned from God is not to take things personal and they won't become personal. And so I've learned how to talk to my kids and ask questions instead of assume and try and control their lives. I found out along the way that my love was smothering and that it was controlling. And so as soon as God taught me how to pray and not pry, it was as if all of those times where I was getting offended or hurt, I would take it to him and he would take the emotions out of it and fill me with his truth so that I had something to say to them that they would hear.
Can you take us, I know it's a personal thing in your family, can you take us through that process? And you said you were, I think you said smothering love. How did you bring that up? How'd that come up and how did you that process actually work through?
Honestly, God taught me that through the separation with my husband. And every time I tried to speak Jesus into him, it pushed him away. And so God said, did I ask you to do that? I'm asking you to pray for him. He's not ready to hear it. And I just kind of took it into my relationship with my children and my parents and everybody in my life. And I noticed that, especially with my children, it helped them become who God wants them to be instead of who I wanted them to be or the expectations that I had on them.
Did you talk to them about that or did you just make that reset in your own life?
No, I've always talked. I'm very, very, very open and it's known that women have more words than men. So I've always sat them down and talked to them. And my sons are always looking at me like, yeah, right, Mom. But they finally have realized it and they are now praying and not prying too.
That's good. So you would rate your relationship as doing pretty well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have our ups and downs, but you know, their frontal lobes aren't completely developed, and I understand that for that. And so I give them grace.
Yeah, theirs keeps developing. When ours get to a place, it devolves as we get older. Seriously, though, pray, don't pry. Good reminder. There's something you can keep in the back of your head. Good reminder. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it. Let me go to Jamie next in Michigan. Let me see line 4. Jamie, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was listening earlier about, you know, adult relationships. There was a caller with, you know, a mother-in-law who, you know, she had issues with, and I wanted to weigh in on this. It's been, you know, 25 years for my husband and I now, and I love my mother-in-law just like she were my own mother. And just a tip that I've kind of learned over the years is I don't always have to involve my husband in every little thing. So let's say, you know, grandma does a little something, gives some extra sugar to my kids or something, you know, or you know, like small things like that. I don't have to involve my husband in every little thing because it does stress him out if, you know, I'm squabbling with my mother-in-law. And so I always ask myself, does this issue need to, you know, go by my husband, or is this something that I can talk to her about myself? Because at the end of the day, if I'm involving my husband, I have to ask myself, is am I looking for validation from him? Is there a problem in my marriage that I need that from him? Or is this something that I can just talk to my mother-in-law about? And I just wanted to tell you that.
But how does mother-in-law accept that from you?
She is fine. She's like, oh, I know. I know we already had a dessert at the restaurant. I shouldn't have got them fuckers or something like that. or whatever it is. Or I said, no, if we're shopping, you know, or something. I was like, no, they don't need that. And she puts it in the cart. And it's little things like that, that, you know, I could be like, all right, that is, you know, disrespect. But it's, I'm able to, you know, say, no, we really don't, you know, we don't need that. She'll be like, oh, okay. You know, that type of thing. And we're honestly okay. So,
well, I'll pat your mother-in-law on the back because that shows maturity on her part too, that she doesn't take these things. I mean, she's treating you more like a daughter than a daughter-in-law. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And it's been years and years. And there was 13 years, you know, before kids came along into the picture. So I really developed and my husband's an only child. And, oh, she's been so kind and good to me. And I've been, you know, good and kind to her. And I just attribute that to God's grace.
Yeah, having just that open relationship. That doesn't always work. I mean, some of you are saying, boy, I wish I could do that with my mother-in-law, you know, and just talk about things. But boy, anything I do is, or why is it mother-in-laws? Why, Jennifer, turn that microphone out. Why do mother-in-laws get the bad rap and dads, father-in-laws just kind of sit over in the corner?
I think speaking as a mom, maybe they're trying to still be a mom.
Oh.
And I'm going through something right now. My daughter's 21, but I'm trying to find that balance of not treating her like a kid, because I still see her as my baby, and she's my only child, and she's a business owner now, and I've never been a business owner. So whenever she asks me for advice, I come at it from, you know, maybe a mom, or I tell her, of course, Kara, I've never been a business owner, so I'm going to answer as if I were your customer. But I'm still having a hard time at times treating her, I guess, more of as an equal because we're both adults rather than, you know, mom just saying, here, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, that's good. I think for me, of course, we have 3 kids. They're all grown. They're great, great kids, great parents, got 13 grandkids. And I think that's the best payoff right there, all the grandkids. But I find myself, even at this stage, I mean, these are people who are educated and capable and godly, and they're all great. But sometimes you look in and think, well, no, I would just do it differently than that.
And I have a great mother-in-law. I'm lucky.
Okay, got to get that in. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back talking about in-law, not in-law, well, I guess it could be, but also about your adult sons and daughters and the relationship, because we want to do this the way God intended, so we have more peace, more purpose, and God gets the glory. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And by the way, when you do that, you're making a difference. You're impacting people for Christ. We see families being reconciled. We see people coming to Christ, giving their life to Christ. And beyond that, then choosing to say, hey, then how is this going to make a difference? Then how should I live, as one author put it, in terms of how I live in my life, my family, my finance? We're doing this together. Thank you for joining the journey and the challenge and the opportunity. When you call 888-888-1717, press number 2, talk to our team, or go to theintentionallife.com to be a part of the ministry today. I appreciate it. Just before we get back to our calls, I promised 6 common sources of tension between parents and adult children. No surprise here, according to research. I think this is coming from Psychology Today. It's not noted, so I would give them credit if I could, but I don't see it here. But they're good anyway. Number 1 on their list is the assumption of a quid pro quo. What does that mean? I've been the parent. I've done everything for you. I've raised you. Now I have a right to be involved in your life and tell you how to live it. Payback. Not a good idea. Not going to work. In fact, they shared a little story here. It says, I was enormously grateful that my mother was willing to babysit my son 2 days a week because it basically cut my childcare expenses by 40%. But somehow she felt that doing this gave her permission to start commenting on how I was raising him. Well, maybe it does a little bit. If in terms of his behavior at her house, it might be some feedback. But again, Grandma, do it wisely, right? Interesting. Well, anyway, there's a pain point. Here's another one. Disappointment over a partner choice. In other words, when your children marry the wrong person, according to you, that can be a pain point. Yeah, I don't think I need to say more. Many of you have been down that. You know that's an issue. And sometimes, frankly, sometimes parents, you see it better than the kids do, your son or daughter did. So you got to deal with that. Number 3, disappointment with life choices. Parents who are highly in control see their children as reflections of themselves, and it's easy, therefore, to disagree when they make a choice. And it could be as simple as saying, I don't know why you're spending the money this way, the way you do, to some of the bigger choices of career and so on. There's 3. I'll get to the other 3 here a little bit later in the show. All right. Let's get back to the calls. I think we're going to Marixa next in Arizona. Sounds like you're doing a reset. What's needed for you?
Well, I'm struggling. I have a 20-year-old daughter And I mean, we've been close on and on. I'm a single mom, so we've been, you know, she was kind of to my friend and daughter, but as she's getting older, I guess it's more morals. I'm just confused about what to do because she's currently, I have her and her boyfriend living with me, but I mean, I don't feel like it's right because they're not married.
Yeah.
And if she tells me, oh, well, then I'll go live in the van with him if you don't want us here. And obviously, she's my daughter. I don't want her to see her out of the street. But she's just so, with this guy, like, I just want her to open her eyes. I want her to go to school, work, not focus on just a guy and throw her life away.
Yeah. Boy, I hear your heart. Marixa, listen, we talk about tough love. Your daughter doesn't have to leave your home. You're not throwing your daughter out. You're just simply saying, you're not shacking up here in my house. You're welcome to stay here, honey. I love you and all that. I mean, I can't control how you live when you're not in the house, but in this house, this is the way our house operates. And I know that's hard. I mean, it's easy for me. I sit in the studio over here. But when you sit down with your own daughter or your own son and have to do that, that's tough. But I'll tell you what, there's a point where you understand that you can't be responsible for another person's behavior. But see, one of the things you did, you lied to yourself because you said, I'm going to throw my daughter out, basically. And you're not. You're just saying, honey, that's not the way we operate. I can't go to bed at night and knowing my relationship with Christ, knowing what the standards are I have in my home, which are reasonable, and allow those to be violated. And frankly, if that young man understood that was important to you, seems like he would honor you enough to say, fine, and let me leave. And, I don't want to be an offense to you and your home. It's your home. And having the values in your home to do what you know is the right thing to do. And I say to all of us as parents, listen, there's a passage in Scripture that reminds us when we violate our conscience, if you're a Christian, you violate your conscience. When you know what to do is right and you don't do it, that can become a real sinful problem for us in our own lives. And what I hear you saying, you're wrestling. Well, that's great. That shows the Holy Spirit. Proof positive to me, Marixa, that the Holy Spirit exists because you're wrestling with this and being talked to spiritually about what, you know, how you want to operate your home and still be a good parent. I don't know if that helps. What do you take from all that?
I take that I have to just let her grow and make her decisions. And if she chooses to follow the guy, and like she says, I'll go live in my van if you don't want him near my home, then I guess I feel like I would have to live with that. That's her choice.
Do you have a relationship with him? I mean, can you talk to him?
I have. And he has parents. But I don't know what it is. I'm like, why can't you just go home? Do you live with your parents?
So how do we do all of this? I believe that it begins by, first of all, knowing that we have a purpose and deciding what that purpose is with God's help. But it happens through decisions that you make each and every day. You know, it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. Can I change the words a little bit? Maybe instead of philosophy, we talk about one's faith is not best expressed just in our words, but expressed in the daily choices that we make. Even the Scripture tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but doers of it as well. You know, this process of living out our faith never ends until we die. And the choices that you and I will make are ultimately our own responsibility. The first law of intentional living is that you and I are 100% responsible for the decisions that we make, the attitudes that we have, and how we live our lives every day.
That's the lesson. Hope you're listening and enjoying it. It's available because of the support of so many wonderful people. All right, let's close this up. Ryan, I'm going to let you come on in. It looks like you're an adult son with a perspective on this. Go ahead.
It's curious why more kids don't go to their parents for guidance nowadays, you know, the wisdom and all that. I think for me and for us, it boils down to a few things. Number one, communication. It's just ever since I grew up, it was just very top down my way or the highway. And even as I became a young adult and would seek guidance on things, I'd get guidance, but if I didn't follow that guidance, it was met with pain, like hurt or resentment. So I started to become more guarded. So it's not that I never seek guidance from them. They're just definitely not my first source. And also because growing up, I just didn't see them applying or making decisions based on the Bible and what God would do. There was more pride involved, more my way, and even with finances and stuff, like all those things really didn't seem to be great decisions. And then when it came to being married and having a spouse, I noticed early on if there was friction between my spouse and I, which was normal, they would always take my side. So I knew that that would just cause more harm in everybody's relationship by coming to them.
Yeah. So what's the relationship like now?
You know, it's really sad. He's worked his whole life, done amazing things, super smart, and trying to set the family up for success and change, you know, future generations, but at the sacrifice of time. Growing up, he was always present. They were great, loving parents and very engaged. And I was really hoping in this season where we have, you know, kids, that they would be much more engaged. And it's like pulling teeth to make them leave their cave. So it's we can potentially come over there, but they seem to be okay with just occasional FaceTimes, and we're really missing experiences and relationship.
Now, is that you waiting for them to take the initiative, or do you take the initiative and they turn you down?
Again, kind of like the guidance, it's kind of only on their terms. So, you know, and they never can seem to plan and make family get-togethers a priority. It always depends on what's going on. So it always becomes last minute and it never seems to happen.
Interesting. And how far are you, near each other, or is there a distance physically?
We're about 30 minutes apart, so it's not too bad.
Have you ever talked to your parents about this, your dad?
Yeah, and they get very defensive.
Yeah. That's sad, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's really sad. So right now we're just praying and then trying to meet them in a middle ground of FaceTiming more. But, you know, we could definitely do more FaceTime. But we're really just missing time with them. Genuine time of sharing stories and time with our kids. So sometimes our kids, we're like, oh, we're going to their house. And my youngest is like, who's that?
Sad way to end the show. I hope it's not your story. And if it is, you can make a change. Hit the reset button today. I'm Dr. Randy. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Amy. And we'll all see you next time from our Intentional Living studios, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.